Good morning to all. I want to thank you for your company today. This conference will be dedicated to present the financial results of Grupo Argos at the end of the second quarter 2023. With us, we have Jorge Mario Velázquez, CEO of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Piedrahita, Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Finance for Grupo Argos, Rafael Oliveira, Chief Corporate Affairs Officer of Grupo Argos, and Maria Clara Aristizabal, manager of the real estate business. Pablo Arroyave is CFO for Odinsa, and Luis Bejarano, CEO of Pactia. On our website, we have available all the information for the quarter together with the presentation that we will follow during the call. To download it, you can enter the menu financial information and the report sections. We are also transmitting this conference via Twitter. Please go to slide three of the presentation to begin the meeting. We're to give the floor to Jorge Mario Velázquez, CEO of Grupo Argos. Thank you very much, Juan Esteban. Good morning to all. We thank you for being with us today at this meeting to share with you the good results that we've had during the second quarter of this 2023. I would indicate that very similarly to the trend that we have had since the beginning of the year, first quarter was a quarter that had very positive results, and the second quarter continues along those same lines. However, before expanding on these results, we would like to mention the progress that is being made in the transaction to transfer our investment in Grupo Nutresa's food business in exchange for shares of Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos, which was announced on June 16th past. Grupo Argos has been moving forward with realizing that transaction. Right now, the company has obtained the corresponding corporate authorizations from its corporation, including authorizations related to conflicts of interest from the shareholders meeting and the approval to proceed with this transaction from its board of directors. The transaction has different steps, and several of those steps require government authorizations in Colombia and in other countries around the region. We are working very hard because we are committed to moving forward as quickly as possible with this operation in Grupo Argos. Also, in the framework of this transaction, S&P Global indicated that the performance of this operation would have no impact on the financial indicators of Grupo Argos and maintain the highest credit ratings. At the end of the second quarter, Grupo Argos has a cash position of close to 684 billion pesos, which allows it to meet all its obligations of this transaction and maintain a very sound liquidity position. In this sense, Grupo Argos' AAA rating was maintained, the highest granted by that entity, which is evidence of the organization's structural soundness in the context of the transaction that we announced to you before. Moving on to the consolidated financial results for the company this second quarter, Grupo Argos managed to maintain a positive trend with double-digit growth rates in its main consolidated figure. Revenue ended the quarter at 12.1 trillion pesos, growing 50%. EBITDA close at 3.1 trillion pesos, growing 19%. Net income closed at above 1 trillion pesos, growing 14%. Net income to the controlling entity ended at 718 billion pesos, growing 84%. All of this is in spite of considerable growth in financial expenditures compared to the first semester of 2022. on our separated financial statements, as well as in the consolidated statements, we had very positive results. This is the result of highlighted results in all our investments, as well as the revenue received from the sale of Grupo Argos share in Opain after conclusion of the airport vertical with Macquarie. Accumulated revenue for the year was 984 billion pesos. EBITDA was 763 billion pesos, and net income was 704 billion pesos. And all of these figures more than double what we saw in the same period the previous year. This income is achieved in just the first half of the year is equal to over 800 pesos per share, and is proof of Grupo Argos' capacity to generate value for its shareholders. I would now like to invite you to move to slide six, where we will see detailed results for all our businesses. I'm going to start with the cement business. As was announced to the market at the beginning of this year, during the quarter, Cementos Argos made a successful progress with a series of initiatives to transfer value to its shareholders. We highlight that the shareholder meeting held on June 22 approved an extraordinary dividend that will allow Cementos Argos' dividend to its shareholders this year be 445 billion pesos. That's 50% higher than 2022. On the other hand, think about diversifying revenue sources for the company in a region with a lot of growth potential, as is Central America and the Caribbean. During the quarter, Cementos Argos reached an agreement to evaluate potential structures that will allow it to supply aggregates throughout the Caribbean Basin, including the United States, from Costa Rica. Additionally, the company began a project to expand its cement producing capacity by 25% in Dominican Republic, and we expect that this will be completed in the remainder of 2023. We should also highlight that in a context of high interest rates, the company's net debt to EBITDA ratio has been maintained below 3x, which is proof of the financial soundness of the company. Also, 31% of the company's current indebtedness is tied to ESG indicators, which ratifies the company's commitment to the idea of achieving profitable growth, considering well-being of all its stakeholders. Moving on to the results for the quarter, thanks to good operational dynamics, there is still double-digit growth in all its lines. Revenue was 3.3 trillion, growing 70% year-on-year. EBITDA closed at 662 billion, growing 30% year-on-year. In operational terms of the quarter, cement volumes were 4 million tons, while the concrete business registered volumes of 1.8 million cubic meters. These are slightly lower figures than those reported last year, but in the midst of a commercial strategy that focuses on the most profitable segments for the company, maintaining price leadership and expanding margins as the priority for the organization. Results are particularly favorable in the United States region, which concentrates over half of the company's revenue and EBITDA currently, where in the course of the year, revenue has grown 50% and EBITDA has grown 42%, leveraged by a positive dynamic in the commercial and infrastructure segments in that country, as well as very good pricing dynamics for cement in this sector. Likewise, we can highlight the behavior of exports from Colombia, which continue growing in tons of cement exported, 14% compared to the first semester, the first half of 2022. It should be remembered that with its plants in the Colombian Caribbean, like the Cartagena plant and the Toluviejo plant, both of which have bulk ports, our cement business has a great capacity to export and connect to the largest growing geographies in the Americas. Now, let's look at the energy business. In the face of an El Niño phenomenon, Celsia is prepared in all its businesses to face the climate situation. It has a balanced portfolio that will allow it to manage the impacts of this phenomenon, and also has generation plants that are in optimum technical conditions to be able to deal with these climate conditions. Celsia also has guaranteed fuel contracts for the operation of its thermal plants. All of the above is added to its current contracting policy that will allow the company to be capable to assume the consequences that may arise in the market because of this phenomenon. Over 94% of the energy contracted by Celsia is assured under this mode. On the other hand, during the third quarter of the year, we expect that the sale of some of Celsia's assets in Central America will be concluded, which will allow the company to strengthen its liquidity position and reduce its net debt by close to 1.6 trillion pesos. With the sale of these assets, Celsia will have the resources and financial flexibility to continue deploying its strategy focused on renewable energies, especially solar and wind energy in its different geographies, and it will look for opportunities to strengthen its asset management portfolio, transmission and distribution assets, and energy efficiency in other countries in the region. The operating results that you can see on slide 9 show consolidated revenue of close to 1.6 trillion pesos during the second quarter, growing 31% year-on-year, and EBITDA that ended the quarter at close to 481 billion pesos, growing 7%. If we add to this the EBITDA that was generated by our platforms, which with the expansion of Caoba, C2 Energy, Laurel, and the commissioning of the Tesorito plant will be more and more relevant. The EBITDA with the platforms year to date closed at 1.2 trillion pesos, growing 70% compared to the first quarter of 2022. Tesorito is the Tesorito project is a particular highlight, which with thermal generation will be key to provide reliability to the system during the El Niño situation. And year to date has already registered 210 billion in revenue and an EBITDA of 58 billion pesos. Energy generated for the period closed at 1,318 megawatts hour, a reduction compared to previous quarters, which is explained mainly by a decrease in hydro generation in the framework of operations to be prepared for a potential El Niño phenomenon. Now, let's look at the roadway and airport concessions business on slide 10. In the last quarter, Odinsa and Macquarie Asset Management announced the entry into operation of a new platform that will manage airport assets for a value of 1.3 trillion pesos.
This new partnership between Olins and Macquarie confirms the confidence of this global investor in the organization's management capacity and its trust in Colombia as an investment destination. Olins will manage the platform that includes the airport concessions of El Dorado in Colombia and Mariscal Sucre in Ecuador, considered two of the best airports in South America, according to Skytrax. The platform may develop new projects and opportunities in the Americas and will continue promoting private initiatives, including the new Cartagena Airport, a project called El Dorado Max, and Campo de Vuelo or Flight Field in El Dorado. Although this transaction prepares Odinsa for powerful growth in the long term, here it is worth remembering that with the creation of verticals with Macquarie, the company no longer consolidates most of its assets, and this makes its contribution to P&L significantly lower. To facilitate an understanding and the valuation of Odinsa and its platforms through our website, we would invite you to see the new investor kit that we have prepared for this business. It should also be highlighted that our Conexión Centro, Center Connection private initiative that improves connectivity within the coffee growing region by completing the dual carriageway roadway system, submitted to the ANI, the technical study, the financial model, and other documents that will allow this project to continue moving forward with its feasibility stage. Let's move on now to the company's operational results. This quarter, average daily traffic on the roadway platform decreased slightly due to decrease of traffic mainly along Autopistas del Café, product of the situation with the El Alambrado bridge, which collapsed, which we have already mentioned before. In turn, airport traffic continues to improve. Passengers mobilized by the airport platform reached 10.8 million last quarter, 6% year-on-year growth. We highlight the good dynamics of Quport traffic, which allowed the airport to recover pre-pandemic traffic levels, and which was translated into year-on-year growth of above 25%. In the real estate returns business, gross cash revenue was 111 billion pesos, growing 31% year on year, and EBITDA for the quarter was 59 billion pesos, growing 94% year on year. After adjusting for divestments, gross cash revenue and EBITDA grew 12% and 31% respectively. In terms of the same assets for the first semester, for the first half of the year, net operating revenue and EBITDA grew 20% and 24%. In total, 43,000 square meters in contracts were renewed and 22,000 square meters in new contracts were entered to during the second quarter of 2023. At the end of the period, the fund ended with occupation of the non-hotel portfolio of 96%, a decrease of 49 basic points compared to the same period of 2022 and 85 basic points compared to the previous quarter, but with very, very healthy levels of occupation. The sector with greatest revenue growth compared to the second quarter of 2022 was the hotel business, which ended with an average occupation of 58% and a median rate of 283,000 pesos. RevPAR, or revenue per available room, resulting was 165,000 pesos, which is growth of 6%. Compared to the previous year. As regards commerce and trade, specifically the Gran Plaza shopping malls, It's worth highlighting good sales behavior, which surpassed our expectations and generated an increase in variable reaches of 34% compared to the same period the previous year.
Regarding the real estate business, accumulated to the month of June, the business obtained cash flow revenue of 111 billion pesos and EBITDA of COP 49 billion. This is a 40% increase compared to the same period the previous year. This year, most of the deeds will be signed in the last month of the year, and so EBITDA is stable in the P&L compared to the previous quarter. Cash flow revenue for the quarter were 50 billion, 12% less than the previous year, but 20% higher if we compare values year to date. During the quarter, we saw a fall in housing sales throughout the country. This is due to the changes in the way that subsidies are assigned, delays in delivery of subsidies, and increasing costs in labor and construction materials. We continue to seek opportunities, optimizing our urban development plans and carrying forward and complying with all our commitments to our customers. Despite this market situation, we continue seeing a great appetite for our product, for the products we offer. We recently had a call where we received proposals from our clients that were six times what we were offering and will allow us to exceed our original plans for this year. Now, let's look at the slide on slide 17 to look at the consolidated results. Revenue was 6.4 trillion pesos during the quarter, which is an increase of 8% compared to the same period 2022. Higher sales levels was translated into a growth in EBITDA, which closed the period at 1.5 trillion pesos with 12% year-on-year growth. Net profit to the controlling entity for the period ended at 313 billion pesos, 36% higher than the same quarter of the previous year. On slide 18, we can see the variation in the contribution per business to consolidated revenue and EBITDA. On these charts, we can see improved contributions from the cement and energy business, thanks to their good operating performance, as well as a significantly higher contribution from the concessions business due to non-recurring revenue related to the conclusion of the airport vertical with Macquarie, which we mentioned earlier. Now let's look at the slide on slide 20 to analyze the evolution of consolidated indebtedness. Grupo Argos consolidated net debt closed at 12.1 trillion pesos, 3% more than the same period the previous year. Despite a debt that does not increase substantially because of increasing interest rates, net financial expenses increased 58% compared to the second quarter of 2022. Separated results, we can see them on slide 21. In separated results, similar to the consolidated results, show positive results. Revenue for the quarter ended at 55 billion pesos, EBITDA ended the quarter at 409 billion, and net income at 357 million, all more than tripling the results for the same quarter the previous year. Thanks to the cash position with which we end the quarter, Grupo Argos separated net debt, which you can see on slide 24, ended the quarter at 950 billion, a reduction of 8% compared to the same quarter the previous year. Grupo Argos' cost of debt continues to give way ending the quarter at 10.5% at the end of this quarter, 150 basis points less than the close of 2022. Seeing the trends in the CPI, we hope that this will be maintained, which would represent an important relief for the organization's financial expenses, which have significantly increased because of these indexes that have been mentioned before. Additionally, during this quarter, the company has continued to implement its buyback program, a measure with which we seek to affirm our trust in the business plan and the strategy that is being executed by Grupo Argos and its companies. Since the beginning of the buyback program, the company has bought back over 1.2 million ordinary shares and over 245,000 preferential shares. Sustainability. Besides excellent financial results, Grupo Argos continues moving forward with milestones in its mission to always be thinking about sustainable development together with all its stakeholders. Between 2018 and 2022, Grupo Empresarial Argos invested over 200 billion pesos in works for taxes projects that have benefited over 240,000 people throughout the entire country. On the other hand, the Cauca River Center for Forest Research and Conservation, or CIRCA in Spanish, opened its doors on July 21, intending to offer and develop alternatives to propagate plant material, provide education and research on tropical forests and other ecosystems associated with the middle basin of the Cauca River. This research center required an investment of over 2.1 billion pesos and has the capacity to produce 500,000 seedlings a year of native species from the tropical forests in the southeast of Antioquia, where only 22% of the original plant coverage still remains. Construction of CIRCA was possible thanks to coordination of efforts and wills between ODINSA, Fundación Grupo Argos, Confama, Julio C. Hernandez Foundation, and intends to have a positive impact on water basins in the organization's area of influence. To close this presentation, I would like to highlight five fundamental points of this quarter. First, the operational dynamic of all our businesses is very positive, and its contributions to consolidated results continue growing by double digits. At the end of the quarter, Grupo Argos has a very healthy cash position that gives the organization financial flexibility to perform and implement its strategic plan. Third, the conclusion of the airport vertical business is the realization of that strategic plan, which will additionally leverage future growth. Fourth, during the period, a framework agreement was signed for exchanging shares in the Grupo Nutresa food business. And regarding this, S&P Global indicated this has no impact on Grupo Argos financial indicators, and it maintained the highest credit rating for the organization. And fifth, the company is still focused on decreasing its indebtedness, and in future months, its net indebtedness will decrease by close to 1.6 trillion pesos with the divestment of certain assets of Celsius in Central America. Finally, our guidance for the rest of the year is maintained according to the figures communicated at the beginning of the year. We hope to end the year with consolidated revenue of 22 trillion pesos and an EBITDA of over 5.2 trillion pesos. Now I'd like to give the floor to Juan Esteban to continue with our conversation and any questions you may have. Thank you very much. I would like to remind you all that you can ask your questions in the Q&A section enabled on the platform. So we have no questions right now. We're going to pause the call for a few minutes so you can ask questions. Okay, we have the first question from Sebastián Luparia, and he asks the following. I understand that the subsidiary Cementos Arcos is going to leave MSCI. You have been carrying out a buyback. How much more space do you have to buy? I'd like to give the floor to Alejandro Pedreta. Thank you very much for your question. In fact, Grupo Arcos in the past has been purchasing on the secondary market. We have announced that they were public, and the space we have now is very small, very reduced, and we would have to, if we wanted to carry out a larger buyback, we would have to use a takeover mechanism. And from the point of view of Cementos Arcos, they also announced the possibility to purchasing using certain mechanisms or structures that are still being reviewed depending on the market conditions at a given time. That would be the answer that we would give, as we have been given in the past, as regards the buyback of Cementos Argos, and also could be mechanisms that Grupo Argos could use in the future. Juan Camilo Dauder asks us the following. What can you tell us about the issue of Decree 050 on the freezing of toll rates? How have negotiations with the government moved forward? I'd like to give the floor to Pablo Arroyave, who's with us from Bolivia. Regarding Decree 050, we'd like to remind you that it was a decree that was enacted by the government in January to not increase toll rates in Colombia. In the case of Odinsa and the private capital fund, we have four concessions in Colombia that decree only affected two of those four concessions, because in Túnel de Oriente, which is departmental concessions, we did increase toll rates. And in the case of Autopista de Café, the decree came out after the increase that was complicated under the contract, and the National Infrastructure Agency agreed to maintain the increase that had been applied. So this decree only affected Pacífico 2 and Vía del Meta. The contract, Pacífico 2, also already considered reduced collections. So what Pacífico 2 had been done even before this decree, because of the contractual development of the concession, it was already submitting to the ANI quarterly records to collect the difference of in the collection that should have been received by contract versus what should have been collected. So Pacífico 2 already had a mitigation measure, and we've already used it. Pacífico 2 has already submitted five of these records to the ANI, and four of them have already been paid, and the fifth one is already being paid without any kind of objection. In the case of Majavi and Del Meta, which is a private investment whose income depends exclusively on the tolls collected, and this has effectively affected that contract. And in the complementary agreement that was entered to in 2020, it contemplated a reduction of scope in the event certain rates didn't increase. So what the administration is doing today is it's talking and negotiating with the ANI to define whether this is the only mitigation mechanism or whether there would be space for other mitigation measures which are currently under discussion. Maybe use some cash that is now in the trust because of all the historical collections after the renegotiation of that contract. And so we're only really being affected in Majavi del Meta, and we are currently in negotiations with the ANA to compensate that mitigation. On the other three concessions, either there was no effect, or there was, or there's already mitigation. And I'd like to give a macro comment. The country has a discussion because of the something that the Ministry of Treasury mentioned to review this freezing of rates to be able to guarantee the stability of the concession system. So we need to celebrate those signs that are looking at reestablishing the normal regime for increasing toll rates. Thank you very much. We have the following question from Bianca Arenegas. Thank you for the call. Could you give us details on portfolio performance? Yes, we can share that. There was a first observation, as you will see on the figures that Alejandro is going to share with you. There's a considerable reduction in the investments from the equity method, from the investment that Grupo Argos has in Grupo Sura. As Grupo Sura will explain in extensive detail, this has to do with the definition of reclassification of certain investments that Grupo Sura has, particularly the ones it has in Grupo Nutresa, intending to prepare the structure of its balance sheet to carry out the project of share swap for shares in Grupo Nutresa. This effect of reclassification simultaneously produces
the appearance of a contingency account of a deferred tax, which has been moved to the results statement in this this quarter, and it's an extraordinary charge on Grupo Sura, but it makes Grupo Sura prepared to carry out the share swap under the agreement with JB and IHC. I'd like to give the floor to Alejandro so he can give you the details of the variation between Jorge. Yes, Jorge. Effectively, as you mentioned, if you look at our revenue in Grupo Argos of June 22 versus June 23, went from 12 pesos. If you look at the composition of the portfolio drops in 58 billion pesos compared to last year. However, when you look at that portfolio, how it's divided, is that basically that portfolio has two main components. The first one is certain dividends that we receive, 43 billion pesos against 61 billion. And the other one, which is the equity method from Sura, it goes from 260 to 184 billion pesos. So effectively, that difference between these periods generated a drop of close to 31 billion pesos, and that means that the delta is a negative delta. That negative delta is what I was mentioning, which Grupo Sura will talk about in detail, is due mainly to a reclassification that gives rise to deferred taxes, important deferred taxes, which Sura will talk about more in depth. And as you know, this has accounting effects, not cash flow effects, but they do affect the operational income of Grupo Sura, which under the equity method affects us and means that we have a reduction in 31 billion pesos. Thank you very much, Alejandro. We're asking, Sebastián Saldarriaga is asking the following. Good morning. The Grupo Argos buyback program, under, as you mentioned, you said you bought back 1.2 million shares in 5 months, which is low and would not meet the goal from here to 3 years. What is the plan, implementation plan? Yes, we continue buying the maximum amount allowed under the mechanism that we're using today, which has a limitation of 25% of the average. In that sense, volumes will continue growing, and the level of buyback that we can perform will also increase. The decision of the board of directors is to continue using the points on screen method, with the maximum levels possible. And as the market is revitalized and volumes increase, then we will continue to see a growth in that demand. The operation, as you mentioned, was suspended for some months and then restarted recently with authorization from the shareholder meeting after having proceeded with all the issues related to the takeover bids. And I trust that as the market becomes revitalized, the volumes will continue to be positive. We will continue to use this mechanism with great commitment. And as we evaluate its performance together with the board, we will carry out the necessary actions to be able to fulfill our commitment. Thank you very much. Daniel Guardiola is asking the following. Could you share with us what are your expectations of dividend received for 2023, considering the conclusion of the transaction with Kalinske, greater leveraging of Grupo Sura, and therefore its
lower payment capacity, and the non-existence of extraordinary contributions from Odinsa or Bain. Okay, Alejandro, you have the floor. Thank you, Jorge. Well, basically, in 2023, we have projected around 1 trillion pesos in dividends received. I'll go into a little bit more detail because our revenue for 2023 shows that our strong cash flow position. We have estimated additional revenue of 240 billion pesos from the real estate division, and we just received an important inflow from our divestment in our participation in El Dorado. So from an operating point of view, we are revenue close to 1.6 trillion pesos. When you look at the dividend we pay is administrative expenses and taxes, we're close to 817 billion pesos. Other buybacks gives us an operational cash flow of around 713 billion pesos. If we look at amortization, etc., I won't go into all that detail, but in cash flow, what we have stipulated to end 2023 in available cash flow is close to 1 trillion pesos in cash. What does this mean? This allows us to have flexibility regarding obligations that could arise given purchasing the share swap due to the purchase by Grupo Gilinski and DHC, which we presented in detail, not just S&P that maintained our AAA rating, but also Fitch, who are looking at cash flow for 2023 and with a projection out to 2025, which is what they look at. Our cash flow and our flexibility would be sufficient in any given situation. So regarding your second question regarding the topic of Opa is that we have the sufficient financial flexibility in the event that we have any variation in the dividends received from certain businesses, which are part of the work that we showed them, which is part of the analysis that the risk rating agencies did, which was they looked at those scenarios of the fluctuations that Grupo Argos could have due to lower revenue from dividends. And what this shows is that due to this excess cash position we have great flexibility towards the future. The same line, Daniel Guardiola asks us to follow up on this and ask us if we could give us more information on dividends for next year. From the point of view of the projections that we're doing in the analysis and in our models, Daniel, a product of moving into that private equity fund model, we do not have stipulated revenue from dividends from Olinsa, from the airport, and from each of the businesses. What we usually do in the exercise is we do is regarding the dividends received from in previous periods, and as we look at the results of the companies, we adjust these to date. And with the figures that you've seen for Cementos and Celsia, what we're seeing is that we would maintain from within our model, we would have dividends that are going to be growing alongside inflation. And from the other businesses, in our own case, we have in the case of Nutresa, we will not receive dividends, and we would as a result of the issues to it, we could have additional compensation. But we also run scenarios where we might have a reduction in the case of example of Grupo Sura that would still allow us to maintain our dividend payments by Grupo Argos, which is mainly what we were explaining and showing to the risk rating agencies, which was what meant that they maintained our AAA rating. Thank you very much. We have several questions from Catherine Ortiz. I'll start with the first one. What is exactly lacking in the United States to list Cementos Argos operations in that country. Yes, thank you, Catherine. We need to find a market window that will allow us to carry out an operation that will generate volume for stakeholders. The company has been working very hard on preparing not just accounting, but also operational, complying with US regulations, supplying all the documents and forms to the SEC, and we are ready from an operational point of view. However, market windows have we're not excited about any market windows yet to be able to list the company on the NYSE, which requires partial monetization of the asset. So we will do this when the value generation conditions on the investment is made and the way to transfer it to the value of the share in of Cementos and Argos. I am aware, as all of you, of the instability and volatility of markets that we've experienced over the last year, and so that has not only delayed our materialization of this operation, but also for many companies around the world. But I am optimistic that we will find the conditions to materialize this project, which will generate a lot of value. So we're working on that, and I would hope that as the market assists us, we will be able to realize this in the relatively short term. Catherine also asked us the following regarding the process of exiting your share in Nutresa. Can you please update the progress made to date? I'll give the floor to Dr. Rafael Olivella so he can update us on this process. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for your question, Catherine. As regards the process of the swapping shares of Nutresa, we obtained authorization from the shareholder meeting. We obtained authorization from we signed a framework agreement. Have the swap to acquire the share in Nutresa Alimentos and then the swap as such. What's next is the decision by Nutresa, and the company will soon be providing a little bit more visibility on that information. It's still a bit premature to define a date because we really need that decision to take place so we can take the following steps in the transaction. But we can mention from Grupo Argos that all of us are fully committed to making this happen as soon as possible. We've been flowing in the direction because all the parties have their authorization and are fully committed to moving forward with this as quickly as possible. Thank you very much, Rafael. There's another answer that combines with a question that was asked by Daniel Guardiola. Catherine has a third question, is the following. There are some companies that are facing a challenging scenario because of tolls and interest rates. Are you evaluating purchasing new roadway concessions? That are on offer? Yes, thank you. I would say that Olinsa and Macquarie, with their capital fund, with their equity fund, their roadway equity fund that we have developed, they have the purpose, the intent to grow not just in Colombia, but also the region, as was agreed with Macquarie. And so it is looking at alternatives, not just in Colombia, but within the region. There are no concrete operations right now, but there is a very important pipeline of projects, not just in green or brownfield, but also of acquisitions on the secondary market, and not just in Colombia, but in the region. As we find opportunities that provide the required returns that give the guarantees and security under the contractual scheme, and also as we achieve greater visibility and clarity on the regulation in Colombia regarding tolls and the regulatory stability of the system, then we will look at the investments that appear in the secondary market with a lot more interest and appetite. But right now, we're being very prudent and careful when analyzing these alternatives to make sure that we have the visibility of long-term profitability that is appropriate for shareholders. Thank you very much, Jorge María. We have the next question from Estefania Mosquera. Could you give us an update on the infrastructure project pipeline? I'll give the floor to Pablo, and I propose, Pablo, that you talk about both verticals. Yes, sir. Effectively, the pipeline has two indications. One, to begin, this pipeline, it does not belong exclusively to ENSA. This pipeline is part of the perimeter with the transaction of Macquarie, the first part of the roadway platform that we concluded 12 months ago, and the airport platform that in the airport platform that we concluded a month ago. So we have three projects, three roadway projects, and another three airport projects. In the investor kit that was being mentioned at the start of the presentation, there's a good description of these projects that I am mentioning. So I'm going to explain a little bit more about the status of each of those projects because CapEx and amounts are in that investor kit. So in roadways, we have one that's called Conexión Centro, which was mentioned during the call at the beginning, because in last July, less than a month ago, we filed with the ANI all the feasibility studies, technical feasibility, risk feasibility, financial feasibility, the whole information package required for the ANI to hire an evaluator, a reviewer, a third party to review these studies. We have already funded the money required to hire that reviewer, and it's currently the reviewer is currently being hired. And once there is a reviewer, then we have an iteration and interaction process with the reviewer to reach a term agreement, which is when that project is tendered. So Conexión Centro is basically an expansion of Autopistas del Café, a dual carriageway that will take the whole trip, the whole road between Bogotá and the Buenaventura Port into the dual carriageway, and that's currently under feasibility. That's currently in the feasibility stage. Regionally, we're working very quickly on expanding the Túnel de Oriente. Right now, it only has one tunnel in use, but which could have two tunnels and could become basically a dual carriageway. The government of Antioquia has already been given all the technical studies and the quantification of the investment that this would require, and we're currently negotiating with the government of Antioquia how that investment could be compensated and how we could turn that into an expansion of Túnel de Oriente, which and we hope that construction works will begin in 2024. And the third project in the roadway pipeline is in the area of Bogotá. It's the La Sabana Ring Road. It's also a departmental level. The Concessions agent would be the Concessions Institute of Cundinamarca, and it's also in the feasibility stage. And this institute has the feasibility studies, and it is reviewing our feasibility studies. So, maybe in at each of them, we're maybe months away from reaching an agreement on terms, except for Túnel de Oriente, which may be derived from the existing contract. In the case of airports, we have the new airport of Cartagena, where we had to update our feasibility studies, which we're doing right now, and which we have to deliver to the National Infrastructure Agency in November this year, and then the evaluator would we would start interacting with the reviewer again. In the case of Campo de Vuelo, which is to take over the runways to take the over the runways of Aeropuerto El Dorado under concession, it's also the feasibility stage. There's been a reviewer appointed, and we're interacting with this reviewer to negotiate and reach the agreement on terms. And the largest project is El Dorado Max, which is the expansion of the passenger terminal of El Dorado Airport. And right now, we are working very hard on this to be able to complete our feasibility studies, and we have a commitment to delivering them in October 2024, so that we can interact with the reviewer and then reach an agreement of terms. So this is a very big project that requires considerable feasibility studies, which are being covered by partners ODINSA and Macquarie, and we would structure it and deliver it to the government in October next year. I think that's sufficient illustration, Mr. Van Hoorn. Can't hear Juan, is there? Okay, Juan, you're muted. I'm sorry. Finally, we have a question from Daniel Guardiola about the Nutresa share swap. The first part of that question has already been answered on the timeline of the transaction, but there's a second part, and in the event that the takeover bid for Nutresa Alimentos doesn't achieve a minimum of 10%, and therefore at least an 87% of Nutresa Alimentos cannot be transferred to Grupo Gilinski, what would be the mechanism to remedy that potential difference? I'll give the floor to Rafael Oliveira to answer that question. Thank you very much, Daniel, for the question. What has been agreed on contractually is what has been informed to the market. We have an obligation to transfer that 87%. And Grupo Arcos is doing all the efforts today to reach that 87%, and that has been what we have been focusing on and investing all our energies in. We trust that we will be able to commit our contractual commitment, because there's 23% of shares that are floating in the market, and this is part of the work that we have to do to be able to close the transaction. So, what has been agreed is transfer of that 87%, and we're working on that. Regarding times, as I mentioned before, this is a transaction that is not simple. It's a transaction that has been moving forward. Well, all the parties have achieved corporate approval. What's next is a spin-off of Grupo Nutresa. After the spin-off, there will be a takeover, and then there will be a swap, and that will be fundamental to be able to anticipate more certain dates. And in the next call, we will be able to give you more information on the closing dates. But what's next is a situation where Grupo Nutresa and all its teams are working, and once we have greater visibility, then this will clarify the closing dates. But All the parties are working to make this happen as soon as possible. Thank you very much for the question, which allows me to affirm what I mentioned earlier. Thank you very much, Rafael. We have no additional questions. Okay, thank you very much for being with us on this call. And all of us here are completely available if you want to go into greater depth on any aspects of the results, and we thank you for your company today.